This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
To the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's clear the San Francisco 49ers young players are making an impression on coaches, players, and media alike. And there's a variety of young players along this roster that are getting it done. From rookies like Ricky Pearsall to Renardo Green to Jacob Cowing, Malik Mustafa. Or if you look over at some of the guys who maybe didn't produce last year as part of last year's draft class, guys like D. Winters and Darrell Luter Jr. are getting other people's attention. We already know that Jair Brown has gotten plenty of attention. He played so well last year, especially down the stretch. But it's important for young players to continue to make an impact for the San Francisco 49ers team to be able to win now and win into the future. It's all the way you build your football team. You have to continue to reload the roster with young players that can step in and take over for veteran players as they either retire or move on. Because financially, it's just difficult to keep a Super Bowl caliber football team together over a long period of time unless you hit on draft picks or hit on key free agents. Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about those young players, guys who are in year one and two, who the 49ers are definitely excited about so far through the offseason. And we have to put so far, and we have to make sure that we don't put too much on what has happened in shirts and shorts, but I think there's always something to like about when you hear commentary from coaches and players about how other players are responding or how other players have changed from one year to the next. I think it's a precursor for an opportunity for them to look good during training camp and during the season. So in this episode, we're going to talk about those guys that are getting a lot of really good things said about them. And the good news is it's a lot of our current rookies and some guys from last year that we need to make plays. We're going to go through it. We're going to listen to some of the comments from coaches and players about them. Full commentary on what we can expect and how these things are playing into the 49ers' favor as far as these guys being able to produce in 2024, which we all know we want. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. If you're listening to audio platform, 40 Yards Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker. Or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And for the 49ers, it's been about Ricky Pearsall most of the offseason. Ever since he was drafted in the first round, he's definitely been on people's minds exactly how he's going to fit, what that means for the other players that were already in the room, but ultimately, what kind of an impact is he going to make? Do the 49ers change their philosophy on wide receivers and run more three wide receiver sets than they've done in the past? What exactly does it mean for Ricky Pearsall? Well, the first step is Ricky Pearsall has to acclimate himself to the offense. He has to get used to where he's supposed to line up. He needs to get used to the route concepts. And then he's got to get his timing down because it's important to get from point A to point B so that way Brock Purdy can get the football to you. The key for that is making sure you don't waste too much time getting there because Brock Purdy has a timetable. It's all a timing route. It's all timing within the system. He wants to hit his back foot and release the football. If he can get rid of the football on time, protects the offensive line from making mistakes. It protects Brock Purdy from potentially taking a hit. But it also gets the receiver the ball in space to be able to create yards after the catch, which this offense is predicated on. Yards after the catch, a 5-yard throw that equals 5 to 10 extra yards because it was a timing route that gave you space to be able to get upfield and make plays is exactly what this team wants and needs. So it's important for Pearsall to get that timing down. But it's also important just for Pearsall to get acclimated to this 49ers offense. And it was pretty funny, some of the things that were said about Ricky Pearsall. Matt Barrows already said it was a prolific OTAs. Interesting quote. I laughed about it a little bit a couple days ago. Used prolific on the show just for fun. But here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about prolific Ricky Pearsall.
I mean, I wouldn't say prolific, but maybe I don't understand that word very well. He's doing a good job. I mean, he's got really good hands, so he always catches it. I mean, he rarely is going to have a drop. We're getting him a lot of reps. He's getting a lot of different routes, trying all the positions, and I've been really impressed with how he started off.
Not ready to put that prolific moniker on Ricky Pearsall so far, and I like that Kyle Shanahan said, well, maybe I just don't understand what it means. But he's had a good showing so far in OTAs. He's catching the footballs he's supposed to catch. He's getting from A to B when he's supposed to get there and make the plays. And that's exactly what you want to hear about Pearsall, because that's the key to getting him on the field in year one and able to make an impact is him acclimating to the offense, which it sounds like he is. And it sounds like he's doing a good job catching the football, because if anyone was going to be critical of his ability to catch or dropping too many passes, it would be Kyle Shanahan. And the media is not there every day, so he gets to see it day in and day out. But I do like that the media is saying, hey, Ricky Pearsall is looking pretty good. I think Matt Barrows doesn't usually do anything like this where he escalates a conversation with a certain word like prolific. So he must believe Ricky Pearsall is doing a very good job. And that's good news. But what about him and Brock Purdy's connection? What is that going to look like? I think that's what everyone's hoping, that these two are going to have a good connection. And we've been hearing that they have, that Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall have been finding each other, and it's really been working out. Well, let's hear from what Kyle Shanahan and what he has to say about the Brock to Pearsall connection.
It's been fun to watch both of them. I mean, I know, you know, Brock doesn't always get to watch how the route gets there, but he knows when guys end up in the right spot and they catch it. That's where quarterbacks get comfortable, and I think he can feel that with Ricky right away. I mean, he's been getting to the right spot, and when he has made mistakes, he understands it and corrects it, and I think that's why those guys are going to have a lot of fun working together.
It's important for a quarterback to trust that a wide receiver is going to be where they're supposed to be. Of course, got to make sure he's able to win the line of scrimmage. He's got to make sure he's able to win at the top of his stem to create separation so that way Brock Purdy has a court or a wide receiver he can throw to, but he has to do it on time as well. You can't go out there and use a multitude of different moves when you have your releases. You can't get caught up at the top of your stem with them grabbing on you and you not being able to create separation, because those things are going to delay you from getting to where you're supposed to be at the right time. And quarterbacks really do find trust in certain players. You get these unique connections where they will just get the football where it needs to be. You saw that a lot of times with Brock and Brandon Ayuk last year, was a comfortability to getting the football to Brandon Ayuk wherever he needed to get him the football. So the fact that they're already starting to work within rhythm is a good sign for the 49ers. We're only in OTAs. They're going to have training camp. They're going to have, I'm sure, some days over the 40 days off that they're going to get together and get some extra work in. Brock Purdy, that would be very smart for him. This is his first offseason in a long time to be able to get with these guys, especially Ricky, who he hasn't got to work with a lot. But just get him the football and get used to that timing. Get used to his timing and when he's supposed to get to where he's supposed to get. But it's important for a receiver to make sure he doesn't mess around. And the fact that they're already on the same page is a good sign for the San Francisco 49ers. So far, good updates on Ricky Pearsall, and he's impressing. He's impressing the media. Matt Barrow's very excited. He's impressing Kyle Shanahan. It seems like he's got a good rapport with Brock Purdy. And we've heard defensive players talk about him during the week. And of course, I love that they're all very coy and talking about, hey, let's see what happens when we get pads on. That competition is going to be a lot of fun. And that competition is going to happen a lot with young rookie Renardo Green. 49ers drafted him in the second round, pick 64. And Renardo Green has impressed people all offseason. And he's a fun player. He's going to be battling Pearsall during training camp. But ultimately, he's in a battle right now to see if he can get on the field and be able to help the 49ers in 2024. The 49ers drafted him to make an impact on this football team. And we're going to get to see exactly what he does when he steps out on the field. But I'm curious about how quickly he's able to get into the starting lineup. Is it going to be day one, first game of the year? Is it going to be midway through the year? Is it going to be next year? Because the 49ers also brought in guys to compete on the outside like Isaac Yedem, Rock Ya-Sin. You still have other young players on this roster like Darrell Luter Jr. So finding a spot for Renardo Green is going to be about how quickly he acclimates to what he's supposed to do. And it's an interesting conversation. And we've heard good comments about Renardo Green so far. But what about Nick Sorensen? What does Nick Sorensen have to say following minicamp about Renardo Green and where he's at?
I've been really happy with Renardo. The cool thing is he's moving. You know, he's been doing both nickel and corner, and it's not a lot of time, right? You know, it's a certain amount of practices and hasn't fully been a nickel. So he's really embraced the challenge of it. That's the best part. Like, it's never perfect because now all of a sudden we're teaching you all these different coverages, but there's also run fits too, and then that changes. And guess what? You can't, like, fully trigger and, you know, feel the physicality of the line because there's rules and those guys aren't playing the same. But just with him, it's just the mentality and the competitiveness that I love. We knew the movement skill was there, and you see it in man-to-man stuff, and he gets those too. But just, like, he's embraced any challenge that's – anything that's hard, I think, is he's embraced, and he's kind of attacked it and willingly been like, no, man, I want more of that. And that's really been awesome.
They're impressed with his intelligence, his physicality, but he's learning to play two positions. He's got to play outside, he's got to play inside, and when he's playing inside – not only is he going to be playing man coverage, he's going to be playing zone, but he's also got to get better at run fits. And when exactly does he trigger in run fits? And of course, things are looking different right now compared to what they're going to be when you get into football and you get into pads. Because when you start playing games or you start getting into pads during training camp, the run fits are going to change. Right now, it's ideal. Everyone can get to their exact gap. They're not getting moved a lot because there's not a lot of contact, guys aren't getting moved, but eventually it's going to change. And all of a sudden, there's going to be times where your gap responsibility is really small. There's not a big window there that you're going to have to cover up. And then at other times, it's going to be big and you're going to be in space and you're going to have to make something happen there. Also, adjusting on the fly to what you have to do in run fits. And why is run fits so important for the nickel corner? Because they're like a third linebacker on the field. You'll pull off your third linebacker. You bring on an extra nickel corner. And that's exactly what happens when you're nickel packages. Your sub packages mean you're not in your base defense for the 49ers to say 4-3. So you have to have a guy that can bridge the gap between coverage, and that's his first job, but also run fits. That was a real problem for Samuel Womack. Womack couldn't adjust to run fits, and then he was out as a starter, and Demo was in. That was in 2022. Then Demo played really well there until he had to move outside. Then they went Jimmy Ward, who could handle run fits, struggled a little bit when it came to coverage. So the 49ers have been looking for that perfect marriage of guy who can play well in run fits but still be sticky in coverage. And they haven't really found it. Last year they went big. Isaiah Oliver was good in run fits, bad when it came to coverage. Jimmy Ward was the same thing the year before. So they've really been searching for this particular player, and they're hoping that Renardo Green is going to be that guy. And when you start hearing the things that they're saying about Renardo Green, it makes you feel optimistic about the player that he's ultimately going to be. Sorensen saying rave things about him, but also his position coach, Daniel Bullock, talking glowingly about Renardo Green and some of the key characteristics he has in his game.
Smooth athlete, you know, very mature. He's fluid. The thing is with him is, like, he moved like water. You know, he's changed the direction, got quick feet, and then a guy that it never seemed so big for him. You know, he always even keel. If he make a bad play, he make a good play. He's always even keel. It's never too big for him. He learning two positions right now, which I talked about earlier, which is hard for him. But he's doing a great job handling that mentally. He's not making many busts. He's flying around. He's doing the best he can. He's getting better each and every day.
I mean, Sorensen talked about him good in being good in man, but now Coach Daniel Bullock talking about how fluid he is. And you've heard me talk about this exact clip, and I played it before, but I think it's very interesting you hear Sorensen and Bullock talk about it. Fluid like water.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Something that's impressive when it comes to a young cornerback, when you're able to move with that sort of hip flexibility, you can stay attached to wide receivers. And we know him and Ricky Pearsall have been having some pretty good battles in camp. I know there was one that got brought up in 11 on 11s by Tim Kawakami, where he talked about the fact that Ricky Pearsall created a little separation with a little contact, and that Renardo Green grabbed a little jersey and stayed right there on him. That back and forth, seeing what you can get away with in battling, is going to make both of those guys better. The 49ers are hoping that this is the future for the position, but just hearing the coaches talk about no moments too big, the even keel nature of him, but they all believe that he's going to be a dog and physical when it comes to stopping the run. got to make you feel very optimistic about Renardo Green in this 49ers defense. And we'll see how quickly he's going to be able to get out there and start. Training camp is where he gets his first shot to go out there and prove it right now. Second team. But eventually, let's see what he does. And he's got other competition. But I think Renardo Green is going to be competing for the starting nickel corner job, depending on how well he acclimates himself to that defense and run fits. You won't know until you get to week two training camp and they start putting the pads on. And you've got to go out there and you've got to meet Jordan Mason in the hole or Elijah Mitchell or Christian McCaffrey. Then we're going to get a clear picture on who Renardo Green is as a dog. As somebody who watched him a lot at Florida State, I know he's going to rise to the occasion, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Another guy who's rising to the occasion is D. Winters. And D. Winters was drafted last year in the sixth round out of TCU. Lots of optimism because of the speed, the athleticism, the physicality he played with, the big moment potential, having such a great game in the national championship for TCU. And everyone was optimistic. And then last year, we didn't get to see a lot of D. In fact, when it was in training camp, it felt like he struggled a little bit. Then we started hearing comments from Johnny Hollins and others that maybe D. Winters had passed Jalen Graham as far as work during the season. That's an important note because this linebacker room, they need a third starter. Right now, you've got a pretty darn good middle linebacker, I think, in Fred Warner. No, he's the best in the league. And then you've got Devontre Campbell, who they brought in from Green Bay, who's going to start at the will linebacker spot next to Fred Warner. But that Sam linebacker spot is a question mark. You go with a veteran like Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, who's been in your organization and understands the role. I think he's an option because he's been with you already. But then you've got a couple young guys in the room as well. D. Winters and Jalen Graham. Well, how good is D. Winters looking? I think that's always the question because the 49ers didn't address linebacker a lot. They did go ahead and draft a guy in Tatum Bethune, and he's going to have to make an impact if he's going to be able to make this roster. But it's very important for the 49ers to have one of those young guys step up so you're not counting on Demetrius Flanagan Fowles as your Sam linebacker. And that way, if heaven forbid something happens to Devondre Campbell, you have guys that can step up. Well, here's what Fred Warner, the captain of this defense, had to say about D. Winters. And he wasn't shy about how well he thought D. Winters looked during OTAs.
Yeah, I think D's probably had, you know, the best OTA out of anybody on the team. You know, I feel like he's come along since last year. I remember he came in as a rookie, you know, was struggling to learn the plays and, you know, trying to get in shape and all those little things that you got to learn as a professional. And has come in this year and just been on it, you know, making plays left and right. He came in great shape this OTA, and so he set himself up to have a great training camp. You know, he's going to train hard this kind of summer training and have a chance.
Best on the team during OTAs. That's high praise. That means D. Winters put in the work, not just last season, but in his time away. And the fact that he's getting the attention of Fred Warner is good because Fred doesn't just give out compliments. He says it like it is. So the fact that D. Winters is making that sort of an impact, and I did hear at practice he had an interception the other day, he's making things happen. And that's what you have to do. You have to get people's attention if you're going to get into the starting lineup. And we could use D. Winters stepping up and making plays on this 49ers defense. That speed, athleticism. Now go in and you see the intelligence, the way he's picking up concepts, according to Fred. Like, he's putting it all together. And that's exactly what you're looking for because Devondre Campbell's on a one-year deal. Dre Greenlaw's coming off a massive injury, and we'll see what happens with his contract in the future. Of course, they would love to have Dre come back, but you have to prepare for a situation where you don't have Dre Greenlaw. And having D. Winters step up, having Jalen Graham step up in the linebacker room is going to be pivotal for the growth of the San Francisco 49ers and pivotal for their opportunity to continue to win as guys move on, as guys get older. There's going to have to be guys who step up. Or just like what happened in the Super Bowl, if somebody like Dre goes down, having a more capable backup that could step in and be better. And with Winter's athleticism, he's going to get better and better in coverage, which means he can make a lot of plays. Plus, this is a guy that when he understands concepts, pulls his trigger, and goes downhill quickly, not only can he produce sacks, he can produce tackles for loss and turnovers. D. Winters is a special athlete. It just had to come from the up top, the mental aspect of the game. So if he's got it figured out, which, I mean, Dre Greenlaw is talking glowingly about him, then potentially, yeah, we're going to have D Winters being able to help this football team. I think this is great news for the 49ers. In fact, Fred thinks he had the best OTAs out of everyone. Another person that gets a lot of people's conversation going is Darrell Luter Jr. Because I've heard many things about Luter Jr. from some people thinking he won't make the team to others thinking he's the second best corner on the entire roster. I think there's a wide range of viewpoints. I think Darrell Luter Jr. is interesting because he was definitely somebody that they were high on last year when they drafted him out of the fifth round, but then he suffered an injury and it was a huge setback. When he came back, he did help on special teams, had a touchdown saving tackle, but then also had a ball go off him in the Super Bowl. But I think where is he at cornerback is the more interesting question. Was he going to play inside? Was he going to play outside? Is he physical enough in the run game? We didn't really get to see enough of him play. So now we're going to get to see him really have training camp for the first time, preseason for the first time, and we're going to get to find out why they were so optimistic about him. But we're going to get to hear Nick Sorensen talk about Darrell Luter Jr., and I think it'll give you a clear view of where they see him and also reason to be optimistic about what Darrell Luter Jr. can do in the 49ers defense.
Again, right, when you see him, stout, built a lot like Mooney, he's big, he's got length, and he's learning to use that. I think with him, it stunk because we saw it, we were excited for him really quick last year when he got here, you know, and then got injured pretty quickly. And then when he came back, it was, you know, mid-season or later in the season, and then saw some flashes. And so we're just, it's about growth. And again, he's a competitive guy, he's really smart. He's a guy that really, really, really cares. So seeing him progress and utilize his size and his length and then his brain and how he sees things, he's progressed the right way and just can't wait to see him when he comes back after these 40 days.
The 49ers have now found a type that they're trying to model their defensive backs out of. In every single time that he was talking about Isaac Yedem or he was talking about Darrell Luter Jr., he was talking about Mooney Ward and the fact that Mooney Ward is big and he's long and he's physical. And that is what they're looking for out of some of their cornerbacks. Just look at what he said here about Darrell Luter Jr., big and physical and long, and he's learning how to use that length. That's an important element to any defensive back. But the way he talked about him makes you see how they're optimistic about the potential that Darrell Luter Jr. has to make this football team and potentially help this football team. There's upside there. And I think the 49ers are looking for upside with physicality and a guy that can go in there and help in the run game, but also be able to go outside and cover. So this is good news for the 49ers that Darrell Luter Jr. is somebody they were high on. And I think we all had a pretty good idea they were during last year's OTAs. And before he got hurt in rookie minicamp, you had an idea Darrell Luter Jr. was somebody that they thought could compete in training camp and maybe make an impact during the season. Of course, he had a setback, wasn't able to grow as much as they wanted. And coming back middle in the season, you're not getting as much work as you would have got through training camp and the offseason. So it put him in a precarious situation. I thought he did pretty good in the opportunities that he got. There's a lot more opportunities coming his way, but now we can be optimistic about Darrell Luter Jr. and what he can add to this 49ers defense. And that might mean that we have guys kind of on the backside, those guys, Sam Womack, another guy like Ambry Thomas. Are you going to be able to make this football team if Darrell Luter Jr. plays up to expectation? Maybe not. So the 49ers might have a little bit of a changing of the guard when it comes to young guy here, as they brought in some key veterans, Rocky Sin, Isaac Yedem, and then a young guy like Darrell Luter Jr. might be able to, him and Renardo Green, pass up those two guys that have been ahead of them primarily on the depth chart over the last couple of years. So Luter Jr. makes things more optimistic for that 49ers secondary depth, and that is good news. Also, Dominic Pooney, and Pooney is an interesting guy, and how exactly does he fit? What did the 49ers target when they were looking at Dominic Pooney as a guy that fit within this offense? Well, here's what Coach Chris Foerster had to say about Dominic Pooney and what made them like him coming out of the draft.
Yeah, Dom on tape was, he'd be similar, a little different than Colt. In other words, you didn't see a lot on tape that was what we do, but you saw in his testing and you saw glimpses of it on tape. So he's one of those guys that's, we've talked about a lot of times, you look at him, you'd say, gosh, is that guy for you? We drafted Banks was the same way. You'd go, gosh, this is a big old guard from Notre Dame. Is he really going to fit? But then you watch him run some screens and you see some things. So, oh, yeah, if we start doing it every day. So this is a big guy that has some size. He also has some quickness, some power. So he's not prototypical little quick guy. You know, he's a guy that's got the size, range, and length. So, you know, those guys that will be holed up on third down. He's a very good pass blocker in college. That should translate to our game. And then getting him to do our run game is going to be his biggest adjustment. So just all the traits that we need in our system, it didn't jump off the tape, but it was there.
The comparison between him and Banks is kind of the reason that I like this flip. Because Banks was a guy who didn't really fit the system if you watch Notre Dame's football. And he was going to have to adjust to playing 49er style of football. But what they saw was a big guy that was pretty good in pass protection and then could handle himself when he got into screens and he got into opportunities when he got out in space. They thought, you know what? Can we use that to develop into a guy that fits our scheme? And going bigger meant potentially having better pass protection because then he could anchor in the middle. So the 49ers haven't abandoned that process, which means they believe Aaron Banks has worked out to some degree. So now you bring in Dominic Pooney. And Pooney's the same thing, a very, very good pass blocker. He doesn't give up sacks. He's able to anchor as good as any of them that I saw in the draft process. So then you see the things that he does in space from his pulling to some of the screen game. And then you see, hey, can this guy fit within the scheme? They believe he can. And a move inside is going to help him athletically. But Chris Foerster said, hey, the toughest thing for Dominic Pooney is going to be adjusting to our run game. Because it's not easy to play within the 49ers run game because 49ers have specific angles, specific lines you have to get to. You have a specific technique that you have to work through, and it's hard for young guys to be able to get that done. Now, Chris Foerster mentioned Aaron Banks when he was talking about Dominic Pooney, and here is Aaron Banks talking about Dominic Pooney.
Pooney's good. He's figuring it out. I mean, it's not an easy offense fundamentally to kind of walk into, especially from a college locker room. So, you know, there's some stepping stones, but it seems like he's starting to pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, he's looking good. He's getting used to it. But right now, it's really hard to evaluate offensive linemen during OTAs and minicamp. There's no pads. There's no physicality. It's going to be hard to evaluate them beyond footwork and beyond movement skills until we get to week two of training camp when the pads go on. Once the pads go on and we start seeing some of the physicality and you see Dominic Pooney lining up against guys like Jordan Elliott or Kevin Givens or Kalia Davis or even some of the starters like Malik Collins or Javon Hargrave, well, we find out who he is. Because when Aaron Banks was a rookie, I went to training camp and I watched him struggle with lateral quickness of some of the players on the 49ers defense. He was just getting left in space. Maurice Hurst really made him look bad on several occasions. And you could tell the transition was tough for Aaron Banks going from what he ran in college to running what Kyle Shanahan runs in the NFL. So Pooney's going to have a similar process to have to learn. But hey, having Banks as a resource is great. Banks can say, hey, these are the things that I struggled with. You're built a similar way. So maybe if you're struggling with these things, this is what I did to overcorrect them or to correct them. And I think that's something the 49ers definitely like, is the fact that they have a guy like Banks who learned from Laken Tomlinson and Daniel Brunskill the right ways to do things. And now he can bring that sort of knowledge to the young players as well. Burford was there as he worked with Daniel Brunskill, so he got a look at it. And now Dominic Pooney can learn from Aaron Banks about what you're supposed to do. So we'll get more about Pooney once we get into pads week two of training camp. I think other than that, we can't go too much on it, but they like the way he's moving. They like his fit, and they think he's going to be able to translate well, and I think we can all be optimistic about him. Now, fourth-round pick Malik Mustafa has been getting people's attention for a couple of reasons, and first off being, man, the guy's just big and strong, and he's not very tall, but he's a muscle hamster. All that muscle in the world, it's pretty amazing. And of course, he's muscle hamster because of Doug. But hey, you know what? He's going to be great, I think. And here's what Huff had to say about him, about his running mate in the secondary. Here's Talanoa Fonga talking about Malik Mustafa.
Beefy, man. That dude is just like,
outlift everyone. It's like he's like a mini Dre, that how they just walk around with this presence, but twitchy, athletic, smart, and a guy that's really just about his business and gets things done. So
he talks about his intelligence, he talks about it being twitchy, he talks about his body and how he walks around, and he has a presence like Dre Greenlaw. That's pretty good stuff to hear, and I think that's one thing that's caught everyone's eyes is just how big and physical and fast that he is. And if he can take what he sounds like he's really dedicated to the film and to intentional football and be able to continue to develop, he could be an impact player for the 49ers, maybe in year one on special teams. And then beyond that, he could eventually become a starter. 49ers do have two safeties they're very high on, Jair Brown and Talanoa Ufanga. But they went out there and they made sure they had a third guy in case something happens, a guy to step in and potentially make an impact on their team. So Malik Mustafa getting a little bit of an impression made on Talanoa Ufanga when it comes to size. It's funny to look at Malik Mustafa or Hufanga's showing that Malik Mustafa's so big and all that. It's very funny. And then one little note I wanted to bring up on Jacob Cowing. So Cowing, another fourth round pick for the 49ers, has caught the attention of several players. I mean, we've had guys talking about how he, is going to be tearing up the league. Former wide receivers saying that he's going to be impactful. Well, now we have Lewis Riddick, a former GM and a current analyst on ESPN, having some real praise for Jacob Cowing. He said they drafted a guy in the fourth round who no one is talking about right now. This guy is just lightning in a bottle. He's another guy who can work the interior of the field between numbers with blazing speed and great separation, great hands, and run after the catch. And thanks, Coach Yak, for posting that on Twitter. I was able to grab that. That is fantastic to go through and listen to Lewis Riddick talk about how he can make an impact with that speed over the middle of the field. That's where the 49ers love it. And so you've got young players for the 49ers, both rookies now and sophomore season guys that look like they're going to make an impact. Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green, really getting people's attention. And then D Winters and Darrell Luter Jr. really getting people's attention on defense. So it's fun to hear what the 49ers young players are doing. And of course, we want the 49ers to be able to count on these guys in 2024 and into the future. So let me know what you guys think about these guys so far and the updates that we've been able to get out of OTAs, and which one of these guys you think is going to make the biggest impact in 2024. Let me know in the comments section. If you're listening to audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, this episode was brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. Hope you guys would like and subscribe if you think that I earned that right. I really appreciate it. I'll catch you guys all in the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.